Now, stop humming this, everything will change. The change. That Warp Tour made you open your brain.
Open your brain.
Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name.
Remember the name.
Hey. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Stop humming intros, always go the hottest. Cause this is America's game.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to America's Game, episode number 106. I am your host, Eric Vanek, and you can find me on X at Eric Vanek NFL. You can also follow the show at America's Game Pod. And this week, I am joined by my man, T-Rock. T-Rock, what's going on, buddy?
How are you doing?
Good.
I'm doing pretty good myself. So I just got off of work, went and got some wine for the expo. I got something a little bit special for Coop, a little bit something special for Mike, so pretty excited about that, yeah.
Yeah, so if those boys are listening on Thursday morning on their little trip to the expo, they might get a little surprise coming to them.
Yep, yeah, and don't have carnitas this year, guys. I'm really sorry about that, but I'm a baker now, so I do have some mighty tasty dessert. So I am looking forward to this year and seeing the guys.
You got baked edibles for Mike? He might like that.
No, we don't usually get that type of product at our restaurant, so I have not been able to cook with such those types of ingredients. So I want to know my way around that kind of stuff. So
yeah, hopefully soon. But yeah, now expos this week, that should be fun for a lot of people. So if you go into that, have fun. But also this week, starting pretty much today when you're listening to this, is the preseason. It's starting. We've got, I think, two or three games tomorrow. The rest of the games will play Friday and Saturday. I'm looking forward to that. Shedeur Sanders is going to start for the Browns on Friday, so I think a lot of people are going to be looking forward to that game. Is there anyone that in particular that you're looking forward to going to see in those games?
Fizz asked me this the other night, and I was telling him, I honestly do not care too much about preseason football, only because I see, you know, the rookies that we care so much about that we've been hyping all offseason. Of course, they look fantastic against third and fourth stringers. And then when they have to go up against the first team defenses week one, they look like shit. So I usually just stay away from preseason football, just crossing my fingers. My favorite guys aren't going to get hurt. But no, I'm going to use these last 3 weeks just to button up some research. So not really into preseason football.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, I usually like watching it, especially for, like, the team that you follow. Like, you know, I follow the Browns, so kind of seeing, like, some of those back-end guys, those guys you keep hearing about in training camp that are doing good, to kind of see them play for the first time. So I'm excited to see that a little bit. I am excited to see J.J. McCarthy play a little bit. There's been a lot of hype around him, so kind of see how he looks back into it. And then kind of like you mentioned, a lot of these rookies, I want to see – how does R.J. Harvey look? How does Travion Henderson look? You know, all these guys that, like you said, we've been hyping up for a while now. We've gotten some injuries. Some of those guys aren't going to play. Like Mason Taylor got a high ankle sprain. He isn't going to play already. There's a couple other guys in there that aren't going to be playing either. So Emeka Buka is another one I'm excited to kind of see play a little bit too. So, yeah, it's here. It's finally here, man. What I usually do is on YouTube the next day, they usually do like a 10 to 15 minute video of each game, and I kind of get all the highlights from each game off of that. So I kind of keep in tune with that, kind of look at the box score, see what people did, and then obviously if, you know, somebody had some big gains or whatever in there, a big stat line, they're going to show it on that little video so I can kind of see how they look. So that's my little cheat code of how I check out all the preseason games.
And you're my cheat code when it comes to some of these, you know, third and fourth stringers or guys that can, you know, catapult themselves into some significant playing time, maybe by the end of our year. So I want to rely on you, Evie, for that. So I appreciate you putting in hard work.
Yeah, it's like I said, kind of my solo episode I did last week with the training camp news. It's just hard, man. It's harder nowadays. Like I can't, you don't pick up these free cheap guys because somebody's already owns them in all of our leagues. So, people are definitely getting smarter out there. That's for sure.
Yeah, it is definitely a lot tougher in these streets. So it usually just comes down then to strategy and I think patience and timing and really standing on your process and maybe even being willing to risk your neck. So, which I think is part of what we're talking about today, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, before we get into that, we're going to talk about our flag plants for this year, our guys that especially in like redraft leagues or just dynasty leagues, it doesn't matter. The guys that we're in on this year that we think are going to have big years. So we're going to get into that in a minute. But I do have two quick questions for you before we start. First one is Keenan Allen. He did re-sign with the Chargers the other day for like $8 million for one season. What are your thoughts on Keenan Allen and that offense? And is that somebody you kind of want to go and pick up or trade for or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, I think he will be someone that is rosterable, especially in best ball leagues. I think it's a lot to ask of Trey Harris or Keandre Lambert-Smith or any of these other guys that are on the team to immediately step in and play opposite of Ladd McConkey. And then Quentin Johnston, I think he is okay, especially at his price. He's just kind of a boom or bust type of guy. Probably going to play a sacrificial X role, just going to be stretching the defenses. So I think they needed something else outside of just Ladd McConkey. So I think it makes sense to bring him back. This will probably be his last year, and he can retire a Charger. So if you have a fourth round pick, I mean, I think they're definitely worse things that you can spend it on. So I think Keenan Allen makes a lot of sense back in Los Angeles. What do you think of it?
Yeah, if somebody would take a fourth round pick for him, I would definitely take Keenan Allen for that price. I think it's going to take a third. Would you do it for a third? No?
Absolutely not. No.
Okay.
I think he had some weeks last year where he looked like the best Chicago Bears wide receiver. There were just games where DJ Moore literally just went off the field and just took off the play, and it was the Keenan Allen show. So he had like a couple of spike weeks last year. So if he just gets you just two of those, I think he's worth it, but not for, I don't know, for a third, though. I mean, I have to be pretty desperate, but I think
With the class not shaping up to be as deep next year as last, or this class that we just drafted, I don't mind it as much. Like, especially if you think you're going to be like the 309, the 310, something like that. I think that's worth it, but like if it's going to be an early third, probably not.
I'm right there with you, but yeah, a lot of times that third, though, EV, can be like the little sweetener you need to make a real deal go through. True, maybe I'd rather keep it for that.
Yeah, or you buy that spot start running back, you know. Brian Robinson gets hurt, Kroski Merritt comes in, something like that. You know, somebody you could pick up. And then the last question I had off of that is the one guy that I see on a lot of rosters that's still a free agent is Amari Cooper. What are you doing with Amari Cooper? Are you still going to wait for him to sign with somebody? Because like I haven't even heard like a whisper of him even signing anywhere, anyone kicking the tires or being interested on him. Are you ready to just cut bait on Amari Cooper, or are you just going to hold and kind of see if something happens?
He is one of those ones that is a poison pill that I hope my league mates pick up, because he looked so freaking bad, Evie, with the Bills last year, that I think, I don't know if it was a combination of him being misused or him cliffing as a talent, but regardless, I don't think you can expect really anything from Amari Cooper at this point. Just based off of what I saw last year and how things ended in Cleveland, he's one of those guys that I hope gets picked up and just is a roster clogger on my league mates teams.
Yeah, last year was pretty baffling to me. Like I thought going to Buffalo he would succeed, but like no receiver succeeded there. And he was doing okay in Cleveland. Like he's like I wouldn't even be mad if Cleveland went and picked him back up right now. Like I'm still holding out a little bit of hope, but I think if it comes down to it where it's roster cutdowns for my leagues and he still hasn't signed, I still haven't even heard a sniff of him signing anywhere, then I'll be able to cut him. But someone's going to pick him up at some point. Like it might be after week one, but someone's going to pick him up, and I don't know. We'll see what happens there, but I think I would hold on to him for now until roster cutdown days.
Yeah, I agree. I think someone will pick him up, but if they do, I just don't know what he's.
Yeah, you think he was cooked? Yeah, I just.
I do.
I just have a hard time believing that that guy's cooked, but we'll see. It's going to be an interesting one to find out about for sure.
The crazy thing with wide receivers, maybe this is the same for all positions, but I think especially for wide receivers, once they cliff, they literally cliff. It's like. They go from being like maybe at 70-80% to down to like, I don't know what it is, but
yeah,
sometimes it just comes for the best. I mean, that's the same way I think of, honestly, Cooper Kupp. I think he's kind of cooked too. I'm really baffled by the contract that he got. I don't know. Yeah. There's some funny money in there, but I'm not expecting anything.
Yeah. I don't have much Kupp this year, especially in like redraft leagues. I think I've drafted him one so far just to have a share just in case I'm completely fucking wrong, which is, you know, could be the case. There's a lot of guys I've been wrong on in the past. So,
yeah, I have one share of him that I drafted, and I need to make sure I trade him to Fizz tonight before this episode comes out. So
there you go. All right. So let's get into some of our flag plant guys this year. So this will be a little bit of a quicker episode this week, but I kind of want to get into our flag plant guys at kind of each position and talk about it. And even if we have multiple guys at that position, I think that's fine too. But how about you at quarterback? Who is like kind of your flag plant guy this year that you're just drafting everywhere and redraft and in your dynasty leagues, if you traded for him, that you just think is going to have a really big season?
That is a very, very good question. I think the guy, so for today's episode, I'm going to be going off of my underdog ranks. So like where I'm actually spending my money on and where my guys are at in comparison to regular ADP. So the guy that I'm probably going to get the most of that I like quite a bit is one of them is Bo Nix. So he was a top 10 quarterback last year in his first year as a rookie. It was him and Jaden Daniels. Those were the two of this rookie class that really wanted to probably one of the best situations and just really produced right off the bat. He's got a rushing floor with I don't know how many touchdowns he had last year, but he's one of the better rushing quarterbacks already in the NFL. And despite only having like really Cortland Sutton as his main pass catcher, I think that rapport is going to only get better for next year. They gave Cortland Sutton that contract. So they want both of these guys to, you know, keep rolling it into 2025 and 2026 and into these next few years together as his main target. They also gave him Evan Engram, and then they finally gave him a running game. Because last year was pretty, it was really, really tough with just Javonte Williams, Jaleel McLaughlin. It looks like I was wrong about Audric Estime. So basically, they had one of the worst running games. But with Sean Payton, a head coach, and with that top five offensive line, to see what he did with the limited weapons he has, and for them to get RJ Harvey, J.K. Dobbins, and Evan Engram. I don't know what to expect from Pat Bryant and to produce at that level. I'm pretty damn excited for Bo Nix. And he's the QB9 in an underdog right now. So I think things could be even better for him next year. I'm hoping they don't go into a sophomore slump with him. But how are you feeling about Bo Nix?
No, I think that's a really good call, man. You bring up a lot of good points, especially with – you know, obviously the running game, Dobbins is in there, and R.J. Harvey they drafted, so that's going to help in the run game. The receiving game is definitely improved with Evan Engram, and then you're adding in R.J. Harvey, who can do a lot of damage out of the backfield too. I think that's going to be really big for Bo Nix this year. And then I think one of the biggest things for Bo Nix is he has a legit top five offensive line in front of him. That offensive line is just going to gel some more, give him more time to throw the ball to Cortland Sutton and these Evan Ingrams and RJ Harvey types. Sean Payton is obviously one of the best coordinators of our time. He's run some really, really good fucking offenses in his time in the NFL. So I really like that call on your part. I have him at quarterback 8 for me. So that's right around where he's going. But I might have to move him up a little bit more. Like, kind of just thinking about it, maybe I'd take him over Baker Mayfield, you know, over Patrick Mahomes. I think you can have that conversation. So I think that's a really good call on Bo Nix.
Yeah, he's gone as my like QB 7 right now. So yeah, we're right around the same area. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, in most of my drafts that I do right now, if I can get Josh Allen, Lamar, or Jaden Daniels in round 3, I just do it. And then after that, I kind of just sit back and wait on my quarterback, unless I'm stacking. Like if I had Jamar Chase and I want to pair him up with Joe Burrow, or I got some of these Chiefs guys to pair with Mahomes, stuff like that, I'll wait on my quarterback then. Because there's some legit really good quarterbacks that you can get in the double-digit rounds.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, especially in a format like underdog. That's the one position that I think on average gets drafted compared to where they were drafted and where they actually finished. Their ADPs usually buy off by about 12 spots. So a lot of these QBs usually finish, especially the ones that hit a round earlier, they should be drafted. That's just based off hits and misses research that I did last year. So, Bo Nix, man, I'm pretty excited about him. And he doesn't get nearly talked about enough, Evie. People talk about Jaden Daniels. People really excited about J.J. McCarthy and Drake May taking a step forward. And no one talks about Bo Nix, man. So I got to give the guy some love.
No, you're right. I mean, a lot of us shitted on him in the fantasy community just because of how he was as a prospect coming out, but he's proven all of us wrong pretty much. I mean, there was only a few people. I know Dynasty Barry's one of them that was really high on him coming out. I know me and Mike and some others kind of shitted on him when he was coming out, but hey, he proved us wrong, man. So it's definitely somebody I think has got a lot of talent. So I like that pick by you.
What about you, man? Who's your QB flag plant?
Man, I've talked about this guy a ton so far, and I got to keep going back to it, and that's Dak Prescott for this year. Just because I think that team is going to have to throw a lot. Like, that defense is not very good. Now, if you add in, you know, is Michael Parsons even going to be a part of that team this year? That defense is going to be even worse. The running game is not very good. We've all talked about it. Jaden Blues looked good in camp. That's good so far. And then you still got Javonte and Miles Sanders, but I mean, I'd be shocked if they had a 1,000-yard rusher this year unless, you know, all the guys get hurt and there was only one guy left and he gets all the carries. But with Dak, man, he's got CeeDee Lamb. I think George Pickens is an awesome upgrade for whatever they've had in the past, like even over Amari Cooper. Jake Ferguson, I really like. I think he's a really talented player, and I think Jaden Blue is going to help them quite a bit in the receiving game as well. I like Kevontae Turpin as kind of like a gadget player, slot player. I think that could add quite a bit, a few yards too there. And you know, we've seen Dak in the past, man, like led the league in touchdown passes 2 years ago, was an MVP candidate. I just think Dak is going to have to throw quite a bit more this year than we're used to just because of how that team is set up. And I think Dak Prescott's a guy you can get probably in round 10, 11. And especially if you're a CeeDee Lamb owner or even a George Pickens owner, pair him up with Dak Prescott and you can get him in the later rounds. And Dak Prescott might perform like a top 5 quarterback for us this year in fantasy. Like, you know, could he... You know, Joe Burrow had a fantastic year last year, but could Dak Prescott go again and throw, I think it was 37 touchdowns, you know, only a couple picks and over 4,000 yards like he did a couple years ago? Absolutely, especially with this talent that he has. So definitely Dak Prescott for me. What do you think about Dak?
So if you didn't say Dak, I was going to say him next because he's probably the next guy that I probably put up the highest in my ADP rankings. So Prescott, one of the things that I think we don't talk about, but what happens so often, Evie, is that when a new head coach takes over, especially if they were the previous OC, sometimes they really hit and actually really outperform expectations. And that was the biggest thing that people were shitting on during the coaching cycle, was how bad of a hire Schottenheimer is. And I think that could be a huge weak spot if he actually ends up being pretty good. So, like, I think one of the things that we should look for is when a new OC comes in or a new head coach comes in, that could be a huge boost to the offense. So I'm looking at that. The passing volume, I think, is going to be insane with how poor this defense could possibly be, especially if Micah Parsons does not, you know, play for them for a part of the season or does hold out. I mean, Jerry Jones was asked about it the other day, and he was asked, are you confident that Micah Parsons is going to start week one? And he said, no, I'm not confident. That's not something you necessarily want to hear. So, and like you were talking about before with George Pickens, and also too, how bad the running game could look like, this could be just an insane amount of passing volume for Prescott. So, yeah, he's one of my favorite QBs for this upcoming season. I do worry about his lack of mobility. I have no idea how good this offensive line is going to be. I know that one of their tackles is hurt right now. That is like maybe one red flag we should think about. But at his price, like, it's only upside for Dak Prescott in 2025.
Is there any other quarterbacks that you're interested in this year?
Caleb Williams is probably the guy outside of Bo Nix that I probably have the highest. Okay. So some of the things that I'm looking for with Caleb Williams and why I have him so high. So very similar to Schottenheimer, Caleb Williams has a new head coach that used to be a former OC who could just come in and just blow the doors off our expectations. Caleb Williams has some of the best skill players at each of his positions. I understand that Luther Burden and Colson Loveland, who I'm really high on, you know, are rookies. But DJ Moore and Ruma Dunze, to pair with those four guys, or those two other guys, I think is going to be already one of the best receiving cores in the NFL in 2025. One thing that we did not see a lot of last year is Caleb Williams' rushing ability. So he had a little under 500 yards rushing, but he had zero touchdowns, EV. He had 27 rushing touchdowns throughout the last 3 years at USC. So if he gets some of those rushing touchdowns, that's going to be a huge boost to his production. And I expect him with Ben Johnson to take a massive step forward in passing and also with volume too. So I think all those different things, and then also too, I think the human element should be also taken into account too. There's something about a fresh start for some of these guys. I'm also thinking the same thing for Trevor Lawrence too, and a lot of these different categories I'm talking about. But when you are a dysfunctional franchise, which the Bears were last year, they were not a good franchise when it came to their coaching. When you get someone that actually knows what the frick they're doing in Ben Johnson, and he comes in and they set the tone and they have a high expectations and a high standard for their team, sometimes that it could be in and of itself pay huge dividends. So all those different factors, I'm pretty bullish on Caleb Williams, and I'm willing, you know, with him being the 101, I'm willing just to be flat out wrong on this. So I think Caleb Williams is another guy I'm super excited for next year.
Yeah, I think that's a good call, especially with the upgraded offensive line, upgraded talent around him. I think that's a really good call. And I think the one thing that you did mention that kind of piqued my interest a little bit was he didn't have any rushing touchdowns last year. You know he can run the ball, obviously with 500 yards rushing. He's more than mobile enough to do that. And if they get down in the red zone a little bit more, he can definitely run the ball in or just kind of take it in on himself. So If he adds 4 to 5 rushing touchdowns, he ups those passing touches. I think he only had 20. If he can get closer to like 28, 30, I think that's definitely going to be a big help for him. And then, like we mentioned, those weapons around him taking a step up. You know, Rome Odunze, I'm expecting to have a big season. I really love Colson Loveland, as I've talked about many times on here. So I think that's another good call for sure.
Yeah, and he's my QB8 right now in underdog. He's gone as the QB13 at ADP. So I'm 5 spots ahead of
him. Right. And my last quarterback that I wanted to mention here real quick, though, is Jordan Love. And that is a lot to do with last year. He got hurt in that first game, and he played through that injury pretty much all season long. He suffered a couple injuries, actually. So I think with Jordan Love, the year before prior, he was the second guy behind Dak Prescott in passing touchdowns in the league. Now, they ran the ball quite a bit last year with Josh Jacobs because I think they kind of had to. And then, you know, I had in the Malik Willis starts too, and I think it kind of skewed the numbers a little bit. But I think this team wants to get more back to like 50-50 ball, running and passing, and I think it's going to help Jordan Love quite a bit. You added in Matthew Golden, who by all accounts is tearing up training camp right now and looks awesome. Jordan Love even came out today and said he's going to be a stud. So I love hearing that as a Matthew Golden stand. I had him over Tet McMillan and still do. So there's quite a bit of, upside here for Jordan Love, in my opinion. Tucker Kraft, I think, is going to take another step. I think Jaden Reed kind of just playing his role as the slot guy and not, you know, have to be relied on for, you know, a bunch of targets during the season. I think that's going to help with his efficiency. Matthew Golden, you know, Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks has looked good. And I think Jacobs and all those guys getting good in the passing game. I think Jordan Love is set up to have a big season too. And he's a quarterback you can get. I've gotten him in like the 16th, 17th round in some of my redraft leagues. It's crazy how far he goes. Like Trevor Lawrence is going above him. Stroud's going above him. Stafford goes above him. Like some of these other guys, you know, that are in the back too, go above him. And I think Jordan Love could be somebody that could easily be, I don't want to say he's going to be a top 5 quarterback like he was a couple years ago, but I think realistically, if Jordan Love finished in the top 10 of fantasy quarterbacks this year, that wouldn't shock me at all. So Jordan Love's another guy that I think a lot of people are low on. What do you think about him?
So shout out to the Bootleg podcast. I'm one of their Patreons, and they have these infographics. EV, this was kind of shocking to me. Do you know what EPA per play they were when it came to passing last year?
No, not sure.
7th. So they were one of the most efficient, effective passing teams in the NFL last year. And now we didn't see the volume with it, and maybe we can expect, you know, that if Jordan Love does get some more opportunities with passing, maybe he gets a little bit lower. But Matt LaFleur might be one of the most underrated coaches in the NFL. And to a lot of what you're saying, with them getting Matthew Golden, who I'm also high on too, I think he is not being talked about enough. And he just provides a really unique, awesome skill set that I think could be exactly what this team needs in order to actually not just make the playoffs, but win a playoff game and get closer to where they were a couple of years ago in the NFC Championship game. So you have been selling me on Jordan Love this whole offseason, and I'm not as bullish as you, but I'm a lot more bullish than ADP is. So,
I mean, people forget about his playoff run that, you know, 2 years ago where he destroyed Dallas. Like they were up like 48-0 or something. And then he almost he took it to San Francisco. They had San Francisco, who was the eventual team that went to the Super Bowl, on the fucking ropes, on the road in San Francisco. Like Green Bay almost took them down. So yeah, I think there's a lot more there for Jordan Love. I mean, look, we were drafting him last year, you know, compared to where we are now. Like why the big drop down? So running backs though, why don't you go ahead, start us off with who is your running back flag plant for this year?
So the guy that I am really, really high on, EV, is Devon Achane. I am about 6 spots ahead of ADP. He's usually gone at the beginning of the 2nd round. And yeah, I have him in the middle of the 1st round. So a lot of these guys that we look for in league winners are dual threat RBs. So he's one of the best dual threat RBs in the entire NFL. He is the clear lead back. I know a lot of people are excited about Jeff Wright because we didn't get to see anything from him really last year with injuries. And I believe they drafted Aronde Gadsden too. And there was that clip saying that they're trying to bring both of those guys in to take some of the workload off, maybe on the goal line. I'm not really
Ollie Gordon. Sorry.
Ollie Gordon. I'm sorry. I don't even know what I said. So
he said
don't
Gadsden, mind me.
Aronde Gadsden, Ollie Gordon. So yeah, I got a little
bit there right.
I got the initials right. I appreciate that, but no, he is the clear lead back. I think there's no one comes even close to touching his talent level, because I think he's one of the most talented RBs in the NFL. There's just 10,000 just feet of bullshit in between him and Wright, I think personally. And then also too, I think he's going to get a very high amount of usage. So last year he was one of the most used RBs, especially when they lost to, I think. I mean, he had the biggest target share of any of their wide receivers. It was even more than Jonnu Smith, Tyreek Hill, and Jalen Waddle, which was absolutely insane for an RB to be able to do that. And despite how bad their team was, despite how awful they were, he was still dynamic. I mean, players like him, Chuba Hubbard, Alvin Kamara, Jonathan Taylor, Brees, like, there's something that should be said for a guy that can still flourish despite how awful the situation is around him. Like that meme with the dog sitting on the chair and then there's just like fire all around him. He says, "I'm fine." Yeah. With Devon Achane, it doesn't matter. He's always going to be fine. And then he's the focal point of that offense, especially now that Jonnu Smith is out and he was the only other guy that was really challenging him for targets. I think it's just going to be the Achane show in Miami. And I know we've talked about it in the last show. Their offensive line, they lost their two best offensive linemen. I know you're a little bit hopeful for the up-and-coming guys. I'm not so sure. And their best DB is Storm Duck. So they're probably going to get passed on and scored on a whole ton when it comes to this defense. So all these different factors, EV, I am super bullish on Devon Achane.
Yeah, he was somebody that was going in like the early second, and now, like I would say, the last 2 weeks or so, probably since the Jonnu trade, like you don't get him outside of the first round. Like if you want him, you got to take him at, you know, 108, 109 in that range, or you're not getting him. So I agree with you on that. I think he is one of the candidates to lead the running backs in receiving yards and catches this year for sure. Like, if he caught 80 balls this year, it wouldn't shock me at all. Like, I think he's a very good candidate for that. And if you kind of look at your RB1 overalls, historically, I would say, okay, maybe not historically, but the last 10 years, they're usually guys who can catch the ball a fuck ton. Like, you know, Matt Forte did it back in the day. And, you know, Saquon Barkley's rookie year when he had like 92 catches, Christian McCaffrey all the time, all those types of players, like those guys, Le'Veon Bell's another one, like that just catch a ton of balls and add all that on top of all their rushing. Those are the guys who end up being your RB1s overall, or pretty close, you know, to your top three guys. So I love the call on Achane for sure. I think he's going to be somebody that could definitely do that this year. So if you can get him, I definitely would. Kind of in the same vein, my guy, I think I'm going with Chase Brown this year. I've actually moved him up a couple spots. I have him right now as my RB9, somebody I would comfortably take in round two in my redraft leagues. And it's kind of a similar thing. There's nobody else there in the running back backfield. Zach Moss got cut like I kind of predicted on the last show. He actually got cut during my show, if you listen to it. They have Samaje Perine, who I think is a third down back. Is going to be in there for pass blocking and stuff, but I don't think he's going to really cut into Chase Brown's receiving upside. Chase Brown had, I believe it was 54 catches last year, added another, you know, whatever it was, 400, 500 receiving yards on top of that. And I think he can just continue on that this year. Like, if he caught 65, 70 balls, added that 600, 700 receiving yards on top of all the rushing he's going to be doing for an offense that we think is going to be really, really good this year, to get him in the second round, sometimes you can get him in the late second. Like, if you're picking first overall and you take Jamar Chase, you could double up on Bengals there and get Chase Brown, and you might have the wide receiver one overall and a top three running back overall at that spot. So definitely like Chase Brown this year. I think he's going to be somebody that next year, that might be a guy that everybody's taking in round one in their redraft leagues next year. So Chase Brown for me. What did you think about Chase Brown?
Yeah, he was a guy that I've pivoted on since the beginning of the offseason. I was kind of down on him because I feel like we see so many one-hit wonders where a guy has a top 12 season and that's the best we ever see of him, and he kind of just fades away into mediocrity. But with the fact that, like you brought up, he is the clear lead back. I don't think Taj Brooks, as much as I like him, and I definitely don't like P. Ryan, neither of them are talented enough to really demand touches away from Chase Brown. And he's also a dual threat guy. He can run and he can catch. So my biggest reservation with them is I'm not so sure about, like, because it's been this a thing with this, with the Cincinnati Bengals. They've always had a poor offensive line. I really wish that they would just invest in the offensive line, because in order to protect Joe Burrow, and also too, to create better running lanes for guys like Chase Brown. So I don't have a lot of high views of Zach Taylor, and to some of these different factors that can really limit an offense. But outside of that, I'm at least in on Chase Brown for this upcoming season. I was kind of surprised, Evie. He's going higher in underdog and redraft than he is in dynasty. He's actually kind of slept on in dynasty. He's like the RB16 or something, but he's like the RB10 in underdog.
Yeah, he's definitely getting slept on in the dynasty ranks. I think their offensive line is going to be a little more improved this year. Their first round pick from last year, Amarius Mims, is going to step in at right tackle, and he's a fucking mauler. So having that guy on the right side, they also signed Lucas Patrick to be their right guard. And then left guard, they drafted Dylan Fairchild in the third round this year. So I think they have a little more depth this year. Like, some of the guys that were starting are now going to be backups. They did draft two offensive linemen. So I think their offensive line is going to be a little bit improved from what it was last year. But, I mean, you're going to have to focus on Jamar Chase. You can't leave that guy single covered. You can't leave T. Higgins, you know, one-on-one that much. And then now you add in Gesicki and Fant. Like, those guys are options too. Like, that's the one thing I like about Chase Brown, is he's not going to have a loaded box on him unless all these guys get injured. Like, I think there's going to be a good opportunity there for Chase Brown. And the Bengals, just historically, like, they only use two backs. It's Chase Brown and P. Ryan. And I wouldn't be shocked if Taj Brooks just doesn't get very many carries or even usage at all this year. I think that's getting a little overrated. So I think Chase Brown is just set up to have a monster season for me.
Yeah, I think he should definitely be pretty solid upcoming season. I'm hoping he's not a one-hit wonder.
How about any more running backs that you like? Anyone else out there?
The last guy I really like is Josh Jacobs. So I'll continue the running theme of being a dual-threat guy. Josh Jacobs is a guy who can catch the ball and be a really effective rusher. And very similar to these other two guys that we're talking about, he is the clear lead back. I know that you're in on, what's his name? Is it Emmanuel Wilson? As a decent running back.
Yep.
As a decent backup, but I have no idea what to expect from Marshawn Lloyd. It seems like every time he touches the ball, he tears something. So, until further notice, it's going to be the Josh Jacobs show again. And I don't see this team really operating any differently from last year, except a step forward for Jordan Love. So if there is a step forward for Jordan Love, that means there could be even more goal line opportunities, Evie. He is a high usage guy. and you want a guy that can not only catch, but is the clear goal line back. And that's, I think, is going to be Josh Jacobs again. He was the focal point of the offense last year. I really don't see it changing all that much. As much as we like Golden and maybe Reed or Tucker Kraft taking a step forward, I don't think they're as talented at their positions as Josh Jacobs is at his position. I think they're still going to be a run-first team, but maybe they are going to be more balanced if Jordan Love takes that step forward. But I'm not putting all my hopes on a rookie wide receiver and Golden coming in and just tearing shit up. So Josh Jacobs does that at the running back position. I have him as my RB7. So, yeah, he's four spots ahead of where he's going in underdog as the RB. What do you think of Josh Jacobs?
Yeah, I've liked Jacobs since he came to Green Bay. I know Mike didn't like him very much last year. But I think he should set up to be a really good game. And I think, like I talked about with Jordan Love, if he, you know, Jordan Love gets back to on track too, that's just going to help Josh Jacobs even more too, because they're not going to be able to load eight in the box. They're going to have to cover Matthew Golden and Jaden Reed and these guys, and that's just going to open up stuff for Josh Jacobs even more. And we've seen Jacobs be an RB1 in this league already, like when he was with the Raiders that contract year. He fucking dominated, man. He was awesome. So I definitely like the Jacobs call. I think that's a guy that you can probably get end of round two, sometimes in round three. So I think that's a real, really good call too on Josh Jacobs. I like him quite a bit. Man, my last guy that I really like this year. Oh, I have a couple of them. Let's see. Which one do I want to give though? I really like... Man, it's so hard to pick between all these guys. I'm going to give a later one this year, and I kind of like what I saw from him last year, and it kind of goes back to the receiving ability we talked about a little bit ago. But Tajay Spears last year, towards the end of the season, he was a guy who was catching 7, 8, 9 balls out of the backfield on top of being a really good rusher. And I think all the reports from training camp is he's going to be more involved in the offense this year. Like, Pollard's not going to be phased out or anything, but they're going to have two good guys here. And I think the quarterback upgrade, the offensive line upgrade for the Titans is just going to help everybody out quite a bit. And you look at who the Titans have as receivers, like, it's nobody outside of Calvin Ridley. I like Chigakonkwo, but, you know, Van Jefferson, Shamir Adike, Alec Amanor, those guys are all young. You know, they're not going to be guys that I think are going to come in and dominate right away. So I think Tajay Spears is going to be a guy that you could get in the double-digit rounds that could be a sneaky PPR asset for us this year in our redraft leagues. Like, he wouldn't shock me if he's in the top 24 running backs at the end of the season just based off of his PPR ability and being, you know, a pretty good runner himself too. Like, I don't think he's going to have 1,000 rushing yards, but he should have 600, 700 rushing yards, and he might add in another 400 to 500 receiving yards with 50 catches or so. So that's definitely a guy I think that you can get outside of the top 10 rounds that could be a really good asset for your team this year. What do you think about Tajay?
I think just with the Titans offense in general, they can be a lot better than expected. I mean, they have an improved offensive line. I mean, they were one of the worst ones last year, I'm pretty sure. And with Cam Ward coming in, man, I am really, really bullish on Cam Ward this upcoming season. When you get a guy like him that can just come in and maybe not to the degree of Jaden Daniels, but just transform an offense and just a franchise pretty much overnight, I'm really excited for that. So I think that spells opportunities for people like Spears, like Chig, like Ridley. And I'm really hoping that this team is just better than expected and kind of just surprises people. Yeah, he's a dual threat guy. He can catch the ball really, really well. I'm not really sure of how much better Pollard is than him. I know Pollard is really underrated, you know, as a RB. So I don't know how much of a gap there is between him. But like you brought up on our last show, they made a concerted effort to get Spears more involved to see what they had with him last year. So when it comes to backup RBs that can play a role, especially with pass catching, he's one of the better shots that you could take later on in your draft.
Yep, I like that for sure. Let's go ahead to wide receiver flag plans. So you start at the running backs and quarterbacks. I'll start with the receivers here. And I'm just going to go back to my guy, man. We talked about him already, Matthew Golden. I think he's somebody that's he's starting to come up a little bit more in our drafts. I still see Jaden Reed get selected over him sometimes, and I don't think that's correct. I think I would rather have Matthew Golden over him for sure. And that's somebody also I've gotten still outside the top 10 rounds. Like, I got him in round 10. I got him in round 11. But I think he's going to start creeping up more to round 9 and round 8 the more and more we keep hearing about this kid and how good he's doing at training camp. So hopefully you got enough shares of him like I did in redraft leagues and in our dynasty leagues to where you already have your full share of him. But I think Matthew Golden is going to be somebody this year that is really going to have a great season for us, especially being the number one wide receiver for the Packers. They haven't drafted a wide receiver in the first round since like 2002 or whatever it was, 2003. So yeah, I think Matthew Golden is somebody I really, really want on my teams this year. So how about you? Are you in on Golden as well?
Yeah, I have him decently ahead of ADP. It's a decision between him and Ricky Pearsall for me, because I also have Ricky quite a bit higher too. So he is like my first either wide receiver 3 or back end wide receiver 2 I'm targeting in underdog drafts. It's a decision between him, Jalen Waddle, Rome Odunze. I have him going ahead of Olave and Jacoby Myers. So I'm decently high. I think he might be one of the most underrated and slept on guys for, I think we kind of got spoiled last year, EV, with we want to find the next BTJ, the next Malik Nabers, the next Ladd McConkey, especially with Vlad and BTJ. They were being drafted so far behind where they ended up finishing. And we're just hoping that maybe one or two of these rookies can have a similar type of outcome for 2025. And Matthew Golden is just as good of a bet as anyone else. Like him, Tetero, and the guy that I want to talk about next, I think if you're going to plant your flag on a rookie, Golden should definitely be one of the top receivers to consider.
Yeah, I think he's going to be one of those rookies this year that, we're taking him in round 4 or 5 next year, something like that. So I think he's got a set up for a really good season. How about you? Who's your flag plant wide receiver for this year?
So I have this guy 20 spots ahead of ADP. ADP right now in underdog is 55. I have him at 34 right now. That's Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter, I think, I said it on the show kind of in jest with Fizz, but I'm going to say it again. I think we were sleeping on Travis Hunter the same way maybe we slept on Ja'Marr Chase. That is the last wide receiver that I saw coming into his rookie season that I felt this confident about. He's gone into an offense that projects to be high volume with Cohen. We expect that offense to take a step forward. Hopefully we see the best of Trevor Lawrence. I think that this team is going to be a sneaky dark horse to maybe even make the playoffs. Right now I have them as the 8th best team in the AFC. A lot of his success is going to be on Trevor Lawrence, but I think he's going to ascend next year. But then when it comes to like guys that I really want to make bets on, there's really not too many people that come in already as elite route runners. And that's what Travis Hunter is. He is so versatile. He can separate at will, and he can operate anywhere on the offense, whether it's short, intermediate, or deep routes. I mean, this is one of the best contested catch guys, too. He made Shador Sanders good enough just to even be drafted as a 5th-round guy. I think if it wasn't for Travis Hunter, Shador Sanders would have fell even farther into the draft. And I think he's going to be a huge red zone weapon. They have two of the best red zone weapons going into next year. BTJ is already like a top 5 red zone weapon. But to have him and Hunter, I think he's going to be absolutely bonkers. And I think the OC is going to make a concerted effort to really get Hunter involved. You know, in the same ways that they've tried to do that with Marvin Harrison and JSN and Rome. I think Hunter should be considered in that same type of category as well. So there is just way too much just different things that I'm seeing right now not to consider Travis Hunter probably one of the biggest steals for this upcoming season, which is crazy to think about because it's Travis Hunter. Right. I mean, he's a Heisman winner, and we're not talking about him enough.
Yep. No, that's a great call. I'm excited for Travis Hunter. I can see some of the trepidation on picking him, but like if he's your wide receiver three or your flex, like I'm just all in. I'm pressing the button. I'm just gonna hopefully he hits for me. But like I could see it, like if you're counting on him as your number two wide receiver, it's dangerous, very dangerous. Like it could blow up in your face and just ruin your season. But it also could make your season too, like you're talking about with the upside there. And I like what Liam Cohen did last year with the Bucks, really turned Baker Mayfield into a big weapon. And I think he can kind of do the same stuff here for Trevor Lawrence. So I'm excited to watch them in preseason and see how they play the ball a little bit, how Liam Cohen works with those guys. But yeah, I agree with you. I'm excited for Travis Hunter this year.
Yeah, and he's the reason why in the last time we recorded, we were talking about best duos, and you threw out Chase and T, which I think most people would say, but I think Hunter is just better than T. Higgins, and he actually at least ties that gap. I know that Chase is better than BTJ, but I think Hunter, man, is like, he's going to be so damn good. So there's probably no other player I'm more excited to watch. I feel like we're about to watch history. I know I'm really like hyping him up a lot, but there's just no other player I've seen that's like him, that's generational. Ashton Jeanty is the next closest thing to it as far as a generational prospect. So I'm super excited to see him in 2025.
All right. My next guy is somebody, if you would have told me this 3 months ago that I would be in on this guy, I would have laughed in your face. But just the way that he has performed so far in camp, how he's looked, and the situation that's occurring there right now, and that's Deebo Samuel for Washington. And that's with McLaurin already, you know, not practicing at all, not getting any reps there with the first team offense. But Deebo Samuel has come in, like, in really good shape. Working with Jaden Daniels already, we've seen what Deebo Samuel can do, and we've kind of seen Cliff Kingsbury's creativity come to life a little bit too when he just can focus on the offense. I think Deebo Samuel could have another really good season here with Jaden Daniels, especially if this McLaurin stuff just doesn't work out. I was hoping it would be fixed already, but it hasn't been. But even still, if McLaurin comes back, I think Deebo can still have a damn good season with this team. And it sounds like he's in shape, he's committed, and all that stuff. As long as he can stay healthy, man, I think Deebo could be a steal for you in round 7-8 is kind of where he's going right now in most of our drafts. I think he has creeped up a little bit since the beginning of these drafts have started. He's probably more of like a round 7-ish pick now. But, man, I think Deebo Samuel could be somebody that could really, you know, be a top 24 type wide receiver for you, a guy that you just start every single week because of his upside. So Deebo Samuel for me is one guy that I've kind of been a little bit higher on, and I think is going to have a good season. Do you have any thoughts there on Deebo?
This might be one that we have to disagree on, EV, and see what happens in 2025. I am completely 100% out on Deebo Samuel because of just from what I read in his last reception perception, where he is first percentile in man and second percentile in press. That's pretty bad. He had his worst season by far of his entire career last year. Now, is that because of injury or is that because he clipped? I want to hope that
he
it was only because of
injuries.
He did, but then also, too, that's been his entire career. I don't know anyone who's made it this far into their NFL career, EV, with so many damn injuries. I mean, this guy, like, props to him. He keeps battling his way back, but he's had one top 12 season, and he's missed, like, so many games. I mean, it took him like, what was it, 3 or 4 years before he finally broke out, because his injuries go back to his collegiate career. So I know that a lot of people are excited about with the prospect of Cliff Kingsbury. He is a high, what is it called? Screen guy. So I know that was one of the things that he actually was the best at, his game with Deebo Samuel. So it makes a lot of difference. It makes a lot of sense, but outside of just screens and slants and flats, he's not a deep guy at all. So I kind of worry about what his upside is. Is he just going to get a whole bunch of dump offs? Because Jaden Daniels, he's a guy that really likes to push the ball downfield. So I'm really actually kind of scared for this Washington offense if they can't get this shit figured out for Terry McLaurin. And I know people want to turn to Deebo, but I can't after what I saw from him last year.
I like Kingsbury's creativity with motions and stuff like that, where I think he'll be able to get off that press and man shit. Like, I don't think that's going to be too big of a deal for Deebo. And it seems like he's motivated. He's probably in the best shape that he's been in quite a few years. He didn't have to have any surgeries or anything this offseason, and he's going to be motivated. He got traded. You know, San Francisco said, we don't want you anymore. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a motivation factor for Deebo. And I think the spot where you can get him in the 7th, 8th round is going to be a really good value for you. So that's why I have him. Go ahead with your last flag plant guy, then we'll get into the tight ends.
I'll probably just go with Pearsall. He was a guy that I remember really liking as a prospect. I was so happy to see both him and Leggett both get first round capital. It's not looking like Leggett maybe should have been drafted in the first round, but since I wrote about them, I was freaking stoked on draft day. But Pearsall, I thought, deserved back end first round draft capital. So I think with him going into this team this year, he's finally going to have an offseason where he's not recovering from a gunshot wound, which is absolutely insane. His quarterback and Brock Purdy, one of my favorite quarterbacks in the NFL, he took a huge step forward last year. And I think the 49ers saw that and they gave him a great contract. So I really want to pair my wide receivers with QBs that I do believe in. And with Brock Purdy being one of the ones I believe in the most, I think both him and Pearsall are going to be fantastic this upcoming season. There is some ambiguity with who's going to be the wide receiver one between him and Juwan Jennings. It could trade different weeks. You know, I'm not so necessarily sure who's going to be the wide receiver one as far as at the end of the year, who's going to have the most points, because they operate in completely different roles. I mean, Pearsall is that guy that can just absolutely get open. I think he's one of the better separators that as a prospect coming into the last year's class. I think he's super underrated. And I think people are just thinking about how awful his rookie season was. But that wasn't because of his play. It was because of his injuries. So if the 49ers are what Vegas projects them to be, which is actually top 5 projected points offense, which is absolutely insane to think about with how bad they were last year, they have the easiest schedule in the NFL going into this upcoming season. So hopefully if they're a little bit healthier, especially the offensive line, I'm expecting a lot more from the guy that they spent a first round. What do you think of Pearsall?
Yeah, I feel the same way. Easy schedule too. And then add in Juwan Jennings is already hurt. He hurt his calf in OTAs and he re-injured it again. So that just does not sound good for, like, right now. Like, he could easily re-injure that at any point this season. Then Pearsall is the number one guy. So that's actually a really good call on your point, is Pearsall. I think that's a guy that kind of goes in a similar range of Deebo, around 7, 8-ish, to where you can get him, and he might be a really big value for us this year. So that's a great call on your part. Let's go ahead and finish up with tight ends real quick. We'll just each give one tight end that we're looking forward to this year. I'll start first, and I think it's going to be the rookie for me. I'm going to go Colston Loveland. Just everything that I've heard about him, I have him as my number three tight end in Dynasty. Like, I'm just going all in on Colson Loveland. He's already playing over Cole Kmet at Bears training camp. He's already on the first team. Cole Kmet was on the second team at some point. Like, I'm not saying Cole Kmet is going to be completely useless. They're going to use Cole Kmet. He's a good player. But I think Colson Loveland, for where you're getting him right now, I'm not going to say he's having a Brock Bowers type year last year, but he's going in that similar range, even a round or two later than Brock Bowers did last year. Like, Bowers went like 8-9. Loveland's going around like 9-10-ish, sometimes even later than that. So I think he's going to be some way that if you miss out on a top-tier tight end, you can kind of bank on Loveland at the end of your draft and maybe draft one more guy with him, and you could have a really good tight end on your hands in Colson Loveland. So I'm just going to keep pushing all in on my guys, Loveland and Golden this year, both of the prospects I really liked a lot. I'm just going to keep pushing all in on them. How about your tight end? Which one do you like?
That was literally going to be my tight end flag plant too. So we can plant the flag. That's like both of us. We're on the opposite sides of the hill, the Loveland Hill, and we just see each other at the same time. We both see who's going to plant their flag first. So how about we share the Loveland Hill? He's one of the guys that I think is going to be, Evie, the focal point of this offense. I know it's crazy to think about with Romo Odunze and how amazing of a prospect he is, but I would not be surprised if he is the main weapon, especially when it comes to touchdowns and in the red zone. I think he can absolutely kill it there. I think he is a top two option on this offense. I have no idea. He could be even the number one, but a lot of people are still holding out hope for DJ Moore. He's going to be one of the guys that I fade because it can't be all these guys that eat in this offense. I don't think it's going to be maybe as spread out like a Buffalo Bills offense where everyone eats or anything like that. I think it's going to be kind of concentrated. And one thing that we don't necessarily think about, but I saw as a trend when I was going through these hits and misses from last year, is a lot of times when new OCs come in, it takes some time for the wide receivers to get going. Especially if it's a new offense and a new system, there's a lot of complexity to what they have to do. So it might take a few weeks for some of these wide receivers to get going. And I think very easily Loveland can be the guy that steps in, and it's just the easy target for Caleb to bail himself out of tough situations. But he is, I think when it comes to tight ends, Evie, he is just such a huge mismatch when he's on the field. You think about players like Bowers, McBride, Kittle, Laporta, Hockenson, even Warren, who I absolutely love as well. I think Loveland is going to be a massive, massive miss for opposing defenses. So I think the biggest red flags with Loveland, he is in a crowded offense with some other players around him. I think that could be tough, and it can also take a little time for these rookie tight ends to come in. I mean, Ben Sinnott last year was super high on. So
yeah, I was high on him too.
So those are the two red flags, but no, I think Loveland is definitely the guy that I'm most excited for, and I'm really excited for Tyler Warren as well.
Yeah, I'll just give two quick more tight ends that I want to get to. Evan Engram. We kind of talked about him under the Bo Nix stuff. I think he's kind of set up to have a really big season there. And then the other one, I'm just going to go to him again. I think Dalton Kincaid. I think Josh Allen has talked about getting him going, getting him more involved in this offense. And I think this might be the year that, you know, they finally need that guy to kind of step up. And I think Dalton Kincaid can be that guy this year. So Evan Engram, Dalton Kincaid are definitely two of the tight ends that I'm looking to take in my drafts this year too.
Evan Engram is the tight end 17 in Dynasty. He's the tight end 7 in Underdog. That's one of the biggest. That's one of the biggest discrepancies. Check out me and Fizz just did, what was it called? It was Dynasty Dreams Redraft Realities. And we went through all the biggest discrepancies in ADP versus Dynasty Data Lab. The startups that they have data on in Underdog ADP. So that was one of the more eye-opening ones. Yeah, there's some crazy going into 2025. But Loveland, he's the tight end 6 in Dynasty. He's a tight end 12 in Underdog. So definitely love that in my Underdog drafts. I'm definitely going to be drafting him way higher than 12.
All right. Well, I think we gave some good flag plants for everybody this year to kind of focus on in their drafts. And hopefully you're able to get them in your redraft leagues, your home leagues this year. That should be a lot of fun to see if these guys can really progress this year. I'm excited for all those guys. But let's finish it up here with America's favorite game, and then we'll get you on out of here. We're going to go with what is your favorite superhero?
Favorite superhero. Man, that's a good one.
Any universe, Marvel, DC, you know, whatever you want.
See, I don't want to butcher this because I feel like I'm no good after freaking 5 p.m. EV. Can you go first on this? Because I want to make sure I get mine right. So
yeah, sure. I have two favorites. I would say I'll just go with the one that I've always liked, and that's Batman. Batman's always been my favorite superhero. I've loved all the movies, all the TV shows and stuff that has anything to do with Batman stuff. The newest movie that they did with the darker version of Batman, that was just fucking phenomenal. And obviously the Dark Knight series is tremendous. Some of the best Batman stuff that's out there. And I even like whenever it's on TV, man, like the old Michael Keaton's or the George Clooney or the Val Kilmer movies on, like I always fucking put it on and watch it, man. Like I've always loved Batman, and all that stuff and just everything to do with Batman. So I'm going to go with Batman as my favorite superhero.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard not to absolutely love Batman and just every different rendition of him. Like, I honestly really, really enjoyed some of my favorite video games of all time were the Arkham Asylum games. I'm not sure if you played those, but they had a lot of the original cast. The Batman animated series, there's nothing really that gets me going unlike that intro. That's, I mean, we've done that as one of our America's favorite game shows where it's just like favorite intros, and Batman animated series is just one of my absolute
it's
favorites.
Up there for you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right,
so who are you going with?
This is tough. So like when it comes to like movies, I think definitely like the Guardians of the Galaxy. I absolutely love Star-Lord in that just because of Chris Pratt's rendition of it. But before the movies really came out, I remember really, really liking Deadpool. Like as a kid, my brother had all these different magazines and he had also these trading cards too. And Deadpool just looked like the most badass guy. He was a mercenary. He had this cool color scheme with the red and black. But just seeing a guy that just looked like an anti-Batman with two freaking samurai swords, you know, that is just really, really cool. So like, I absolutely love when we got to see him on the big screen with the Deadpool movies. I think also too, Wolverine is probably one of my favorites as well. And but probably right after Deadpool, I actually really, really like Nightcrawler. No, he is not like a main guy, but I really just like him as a character. I love his backstory and I just love his superpowers. So a lot of the different X-Men. And probably my last favorite one that I'm actually super excited for, if it's actually true, if Ryan Gosling actually takes the role, is Ghost Rider. And Ghost Rider is just one of the most badass characters of all time when it comes to comic books. So, yeah, those are probably my favorites right there. And absolutely love Ghost Rider.
Yeah, I'll give a shout out to my runner up, and that's the Punisher, especially John Bernthal, who's been playing it in the Disney series and the Netflix show, and he's getting his own Disney Plus show coming up here shortly too. He's going to be in the Spider-Man movie, the new one that's coming out next year. So he's getting a lot of run right now, and he deserves it. Like, he played Frank Castle fucking great, and I love the Punisher. I bought a Punisher t-shirt, all that stuff. So definitely Punisher for me. Captain America too. Always loved Captain America.
Yeah, I absolutely love the Punisher as well. I think, yeah, that was another one that we talked about too, was with the Deadpool show. The Punisher was easily my favorite part of that show. So really love him as a character, and there was another guy that just slipped my mind. I can't think.
Yeah, there's always there's so many of them.
Oh, it was villains. Do you have a favorite villain as a comic book character? Because I'm really partial to the Green Goblin. He's one of my favorite.
Green Goblin. Yeah, I liked it from the Spider-Man movie. I thought he did those ones good. I would probably say I love Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze. I thought he did that fucking character so well. And then the new Batman movie that might be coming out, the rumor is Mr. Freeze is going to be the main villain in the new Batman movie again, too. So I'm super excited for that. So I've Mr. Freeze, Tom Hardy's Bane was fucking awesome, too. So love those two. Obviously, Joker. Joker's just fucking iconic. And then obviously Heath Ledger's Joker was, you know, top notch. So yeah, I would probably say those guys, a lot of the Batman stuff.
Is there a superhero that really hasn't gotten a good movie that you really want them to do like a really good rendition of?
Probably the Hulk. Like they had the one movie, that Edward Norton did that I thought was okay. It wasn't bad. But we've never gotten a solo Hulk film, and that's because of, I think Sony owns the fucking rights, or somebody owns the rights still to it, so we haven't gotten that movie yet. I'm sure eventually we will, but there's so many different things for the Hulk that you can do. Like, obviously they introduced Red Hulk in the new Captain America movie, so there's that, and there's all kinds of different types of Hulks and stuff too, and storylines that you could do off of that, so I'd probably say the Hulk.
Yeah, I'm waiting for an amazing Ghost Rider movie. Sorry about that, Nicolas Cage, but if Ryan Gosling does it, it's going to be the greatest movie ever. Morbius. Morbius is one of the coolest comic book characters, and I didn't even see the movie.
Yeah, I heard it was dog shit. It was Jared Leto movie.
Jared Leto, man, he's either like an Academy Award winner or like the worst actor of all time.
He is doing one of my favorite series. It comes out in October, the new Tron movie. I love the second, the newest Tron movie that was made by Disney, like 2008 or whatever it was. Fucking love that movie. So I just hope Jared Leto doesn't completely fuck this movie up. But from the everything that I've seen, trailers and stuff, it looks really fucking cool. So I'm excited.
Evie, it won't fail. You know why? Because in the first, cool. It is really, really cool. Disney, it's always possible for them to screw it up really, really bad. But just like you, I absolutely loved the first Tron movie that came out. I guess, yeah, it has been a while.
The second movie. The first one's like from the 80s.
Yeah.
The second movie is, yeah.
Yeah, so the second one, I absolutely loved it because of the Daft Punk soundtrack. You know who's doing the soundtrack for this one, though, right?
Nine Inch Nails.
I am so freaking stuck. Nine Inch Nails is a top three favorite band of mine. I absolutely love Daft Punk. They're top 10. So, if it's similar to those types of vibes, you have Nine Inch Nail vibes, it's going to be freaking dope. So I'm super excited for Tron.
Yeah, me too. I'm super excited for that one. It just looks really cool. The only thing that I'm kind of, I know Jeff Bridges is in it, who's, you know, been the main character, but his son and the girl who played Core, I forget the actress's name from the second movie, haven't been, you know, in the movie or listed as characters yet. So I'm hoping that that's just like a surprise and they're going to be in it, but kind of disappointed that like they're main characters from the second story. So I hope they're in the movie some way, somehow, or at some point. We'll see what happens there.
I mean, if they can bring back Jeff Bridges, who exploded at the end of the second
one. Right, exactly. Alert. How can you not have the... Like, what did they do? The son and her name was Cora in the movie. Was the son and Cora just like go off and just fuck and make OnlyFans content? It was like, is that all they did?
I mean, if we, I mean, in our dreams, they did. Tell us where that's at. But no, I have no idea where what happened to them. So I'm excited to see what they do with it. So.
Yeah, no. Me too. But no, appreciate you jumping on this one with me, T-Rock, last minute. I know we had some stuff happen, so we had to do this really quick, so I appreciate you jumping on, man. But at TRock5220, follow him on X, follow him on the Vibes channel, South Harmon Vibes with T-Rock, or with Fizz. Him and Fizz do shows twice a week, right? Or once a week?
Sometimes it's three times a week.
Sometimes it's just, three times. I know you guys are doing all kinds of stuff. So
yeah, whenever we can get on there, we love being able to. We have so many different ideas, EV, and we just want to hang out with people. So it's been really fantastic so far.
Yeah. So yeah, make sure you guys check them out. Make sure you check out on Sunday mornings. Me and T-Rock are going to be the hosts this year again for the Start Sit show. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Sunday mornings at noon Eastern time, helping you with all your Start Sit questions, just like we did last year. That's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that. And anything else you got before we head on out?
Check out the draft guide too. This is draft season. I know a lot of people, they're going to be, especially when it comes to their home leagues and redraft leagues this next few weeks, man. So check out the draft guide. We've spent a lot of work, a lot of time on it, and everyone from the team contributed to it. So it's a collective effort from all us shitheads. So I'm super looking forward to this season. It's been really, really great, and it's just right around the corner, man. So, and also check out your channel as well with you and Maddie and with Seth. I checked out Maddie's video that came out earlier today. So some really good stuff on the redraft channel there.
Yep, definitely. A lot of good stuff on there. And then you can follow me at Eric Vanek NFL and at America's Game Pod as well on that. So until next week, we will be back with episode 107. We'll see you guys.
See ya.